First, let me make a couple of quick comments about the announcements. The sign-up list for the Blackland Prairie Days, I'm not 100% sure I've got that up. I was supposed to, but I may have forgotten to put it up. I'll get one up for you if it's not there as quickly as I can. Something else that was not in the bulletin that dawned on me while Terry was doing the announcements, I don't think he mentioned that next Sunday is our first Sunday potluck fellowship. It snuck up on me again, and I don't know how it does that, because every month since the beginning of time has had a first Sunday, hasn't it? And yet it keeps sneaking up on me. So next Sunday is our first Sunday potluck fellowship and early second service. We are in our third and final installment on a short series on Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, in our first lesson, we dealt with some very specific things about Paul's questions that we find in verse 35. We dealt with who shall separate us from the love of Christ and what that means. And then Paul asked, shall it be tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And we talked about those things with very specific ideas in mind. In our second lesson last Sunday, we suggested two specific things that have separated some people from their love for their Lord. That is family ties, number one, and how powerful family ties can be sometimes, and it will prevent us from being what we should be as Christians. Family ties sometimes have prevented people from even obeying the gospel. But also we talked about the love of money and possessions. Sometimes those things will pull us away from Christ. In this, in our final lesson, we want to focus our attention basically on verses 36 through 39. Paul seems to be extending his thoughts from verse 35 as we read 36, 37, 38, and 39. And to this end, we want to follow that same course that Paul was taking. Notice again that we pick up in verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Though we may be in a situation where we suffer because of our love for Christ, Paul tells us here that we can still be victorious. Yes, as we pointed out in our first lesson, we will be persecuted for Christ's sake. We may not always see exactly how that persecution is going to come. We may not realize it until it's upon us. It may not always be in the same sense that you read about and you hear about throughout the world, and how people who profess to be Christians are horribly mistreated. But Jesus makes it abundantly clear in John chapter 15 and verse 20 that we will suffer persecution. Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also, Jesus said. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus says, you are not greater than I am. And if they persecute me, you ought to expect the same thing. It's going to happen. And certainly we can see a lot of that happening in the first century church. Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul doesn't tell Timothy it might happen or it could happen. He says, it shall happen. Those who truly live godly in Christ, that is, they live their Christian lives out, they shall suffer persecution. Paul makes this very point by applying Psalm 44 and verse 22, what he said there, as it is written. For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We are killed all day long for Christ's sake, not in a physical, literal sense, but we will undergo persecution. We are likened to sheep going to the slaughter. In fact, Paul would even write to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 31, where Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Again, it didn't mean that somebody killed Paul every day of the week. But he suffered for the cause of Christ. He put on Christ in baptism and he set his heart and his mind to doing the Lord's will, even when it became a serious thing. Even when it became to the point that he knew he was going to suffer persecution. Even though he had to suffer being beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead, in peril from his own countrymen and those without, Paul suffered that persecution. And I think this is directly linked back to verse 35. Will it be tribulation? Will it be distress? Will it be persecution? What will it be that will separate us from the love of Christ, the love that we have for Him? And yet Paul could boldly proclaim, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Even though I may suffer great persecution, even though you may suffer horrible mistreatment because of your faith, because you are a Christian, and we don't know what lies up ahead, we don't know what the world will be like in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years from now. Paul says, regardless of what persecution might come our way, we can still be victorious. We can be more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors, as Paul would put it, because if God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 31 of this very chapter. We are victorious through or because of tribulation, because of trials, because of persecutions, because of the perils that we may face because of our faith in God. We are victorious, but not on our own doing. We're victorious, but not because I am so righteous or so good or so holy. We are victorious because of the Father's love for us. In Him sending His only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins. Back up to verse 8 of Romans chapter 8 of Romans, and go back to verse 32 and notice what he said. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I'm not victorious because of what I am, but because of what God and his son did for me. And yes, we are victorious if our love for Christ cannot be shaken by the trials and tests and the temptations and the persecutions because of or associated with Christianity. We are victorious. But number two in our lesson, and number 5 point in total now, Paul was firmly convicted. I want you to notice that verse 38, Paul starts out by saying, "For I am persuaded." This is not the only time that Paul would use that exact word, that kind of terminology. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, where Paul would tell Timothy, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." Paul used this terminology, being persuaded. I am persuaded, and am persuaded. That word coming out of the Koine Greek language literally carries with it the idea of to be confirmed, or rather firmly convicted of the certainty of something. In other words, there was no doubt in Paul's mind. When we talk about our Christian convictions, what that means is we have no doubt that it was Jesus who left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, lived among men, died on the cross, so that I can have hope of eternal life. That He truly is the only begotten Son of God. And we could go on and add to that list almost ad infinitum. But in both cases where Paul said, "I am persuaded and am persuaded," when he was talking to Timothy, writing to Timothy, these are powerful words of exhortation for us. Paul was saying without a doubt that there was nothing that was able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, "I am thoroughly convicted that you can stand up to the persecution, that you can stand up to the trials, that Christians can hold the line and not be defeated." There was no question in Paul's mind concerning God's ability to save and sustain Paul's own soul when he wrote to Timothy. And likewise, Paul was saying here, he was just as certain here, of God's sustaining power for the Christian in times of distress and persecution and tribulation and trials if we hold fast, if we don't quit. Paul was certain that with God's help, we could be victorious. That we really and truly are more than conquerors through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, folks, the things that Paul spoke in the first century and powerful words of exhortation and powerful words of conviction are just as pertinent to the Christian today in the 21st century as they were when Paul wrote these words. They're just as pertinent, they're just as true, they're just as solid. And you can depend on them today just like the people of the first century could. Number 6 in our series of points. Nothing should separate us from our love for God. Just that simple. Paul begins by pairing up and comparing things that seem to be diametrically opposed to each other, opposites, on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Remember how Paul started out, "For I am persuaded." And then he says that neither, and he starts out with life and death. "I am persuaded that neither life nor death." Boy, the two opposite ends of the spectrum, aren't they? Oh, isn't it great when you have a beloved family member or something and they bring a new life into the family or a member of the body of Christ and a new baby is born and you're so happy for the family, you're excited for them. And you look at that baby and you look at the potential that's there. And I can't say very many people are all down in the mouth because that baby was born. But then Paul talks about death, the opposite end of the spectrum. And we realize that even if that person was a faithful child of God that passed away, we will not see them in this world again. And sometimes the sorrow may be as much for us as it is anything. But opposite ends here, life nor death, shall separate us, Paul says, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, there is no argument that there have been martyrs for the cause of Christ. In fact, Jesus even, quote, signified. He was saying in word signs, pictures, if you will, to Peter. Now listen, by what death he would glorify God. John chapter 21 and verse 19. In essence, Jesus was telling people, Peter, you will die for my cause. Jesus would even instruct the church at Smyrna to be faithful unto death. That means even to the point of dying for your faith. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Friends, the trials of life and even death itself can be conquered with a steadfast faith in Christ, where we hold on to our faith, we hold on to our Christianity at any cost. But then Paul doesn't just stop right there at life nor death. He then contrasts celestial beings with terrestrial principalities and powers. Paul says that he believed that neither angels nor principalities nor powers are things that can separate us from the love of God. Folks, we know that Satan and his messengers, his servants, his angels, sometimes referred to in the Scriptures, are reserved for everlasting punishment. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. We see it in Jude 6. We see it in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. But Satan and his servants still have power on this earth. We learn in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9 that Satan is our adversary. And he's likened unto a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We have that adversity here. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? When we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15, Paul writing there talks about Satan's servants and how they would transform themselves into ministers or servants of righteousness. They make themselves look good. They make themselves look righteous and holy. They make themselves look as though they're good. And the message that they're proclaiming is good, when in reality we know that they're trying to ensnare us for their master, Satan. Folks, the principalities and powers that Paul talks about here, to me at least, seem to be alluding more to the governments and the rulers of men. In general, governments are good. We understand that. Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 13, 1 and following. We understood that they are there to be a detriment to that which is evil. But we also understand, because governments are run by people, are run by men, that not all governments of men are conducive to being a Christian, being faithful to God. And sometimes those are the very things that oppose us the most. It is a blessing that we still live in a nation, that we are able to own our own Bibles, that we are able, if we see somebody and we sit down with them, we can open up a Bible and we can study our Bible with that person. That we can come together like we have this first Sunday, this first day of the week rather, and meeting here to worship our God in spirit and in truth, that we can do so free of the persecution that some people in this world don't enjoy. We're thankful for that. But we need to remember that may be a fleeting thing. We're not guaranteed that. And all we have to do is look around the world, and mostly, in fact, probably only in Islamic-run states, in some places, for you to have a Bible can get you thrown in prison. For you to openly try to convert somebody from Islam to Christianity can get you thrown in prison and maybe beheaded. Those are their laws. And so Paul could talk about the principalities and powers that could pull us away. But he said, I'm persuaded that as we stand faithful in the Lord, that we can resist that. Folks, some governments and rulers are evil, period. End of discussion. They persecute any religious belief that is not their own. But then Paul continues beyond just the angels, the messengers, the principalities and powers. And Paul continues by saying that things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The Christian must, obviously, live in this world. That's where we live. That is our life. But we must be determined to not allow the present conditions and circumstances that we find ourselves in to pull us away from God. Regardless of what that may be, regardless of what the trial or test or the circumstance or the persecution that comes our way or whatever it may be to pull us away from our first love. We must also understand that likely there will be days ahead in which the trials and the pressures and the persecution and the suffering are going to come our way. Realize that it is most likely going to happen. We must not allow ourselves to be defeated today, nor shall we allow ourselves to be defeated in the future. Folks, Paul adds then that neither height nor depth nor any other created thing can separate us from God. When I read that particular type of expression, to me, these appear to be expressions or ideas designed for us to give us an all-encompassing picture. In other words, if Paul hasn't touched it with the concept of life or death or angels or principalities and powers or things present, guess what? When he says the height nor depth nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, he's saying everything. It's kind of like saying, and such things, and things similar to or likened unto these things. Folks, not the height nor the depth of this world, whether we're talking about physical things, whether we're talking about the metaphysical, whether we're talking about spiritual, to the faithful child of God can deter us from our goal. And that goal is to spend an eternity with our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should not allow anything, and I mean absolutely nothing, in creation, in this world, to keep us from walking that walk of faith with our God. Paul's words were so powerful here. Let's end this lesson in this short series by going back and reading Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39, by means of encouraging us to be faithful unto death. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I sincerely hope, and it is my prayer, that these three lessons from the last three Sundays have been beneficial. Beneficial in our study and in our walk of faith. I hope it has been a source of encouragement, a source of exhortation when Paul, probably when you stop and think about the at least recorded for us of the first century, the early church, probably the most persecuted Christian in history. And yet he could write, he could pen these types of words. He could pen the words of 2 Corinthians 11 where he said, no doubt that of all of these things, one of the greatest things that weighed on him was the Lord's church. But he could also say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, that I'd fought the good fight. I finished the course and I've kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. Not to me only, he said, but to all those that love his appearing. I pray that it will help us to press on in our daily Christian walk. And, or, could be the case that you've never been obedient to the gospel in baptism, yet you know what you need to do to be saved. You know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe with all your heart. And you're ready to confess His name before men. And you're ready to repent of your sins. You've heard the Word of God preached. You know what you need to do to be saved. And you're ready to have your sins washed away in baptism. We ask a simple question, why not today? Maybe it is a case that you strayed away and maybe you've allowed the persecution, the trials and tests and stuff to come between you and your God. You need to come back on His terms. Can you think of a better time than right now? But whatever your need may be, if we can help out, won't you stand right now as we sing and sing this song?